Last fall, Chesterfield County got the news. Ettrick Elementary and Falling Creek Middle School lost accreditation. This happens when a school misses Standards of Learning, or SOL benchmarks, 4 years in a row.
Well, there's a public outcry.
Matoka School Board Representative Rob Thompson says the community wanted answers.
They want to understand what's happening at the school, what's previously happened, what's led to this denied accreditation. With that, we set up community meetings and tried to meet it head on. I had three community meetings out there over the past 6 or 8 months, as we detailed. I met with the principals along with the instructional senior leaders here in central office, and we sat down and started working on the corrective action plan last summer. That was submitted, and then once we did the corrective action plan, we had to fine-tune it a little bit. We needed to sit down with Dr. Smith, the principal at Ettrick, and figure out what else she needed so that we could put the proper supports in place.
Thompson says he started spending more time at Ettrick, and he compared corrective action plans from previous years.
And they were basically the same thing. So to me, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So we were able to huddle with Dr. Lane once he came on board and tweak it and figure out what we needed. And then once we did that, we sat down with Dr. Smith and we said, what do you need? What do you think you need outside of this plan? And she provided a list. I went back to my colleagues on the school board, just like Mr. Erbach did for Falling Creek, and we were able to get some additional funding set aside to work those initiatives.
The school board deserves a lot of credit for that additional investment they put in our schools.
Dr. James Lane is Chesterfield School's superintendent.
As Mr. Thompson mentioned, we spent a lot of time talking to our principals about their needs. We talked to the community about maybe even some of the innovations they'd like to see in the school. And frankly, we talked about how we could work with those schools to build their brand in spite of the fact that the state was going to be labeling them as denied accreditation. We added extra English as a second language teachers at Falling Creek, where that was a huge need. We added a math specialist at Ettrick. We started talking about, specifically at Ettrick, an innovative STEM program that could really lead to an engineering academy, the first of its kind in Chesterfield. And we just continually focused on trying to focus on the areas that the school needed the most based on the results that we saw in the assessments and making sure we honed in on a strategy to lift those schools up. Again, we saw it as a long-term strategy. We see it as something that will lead to accreditation in the long run and then a permanent fix for those schools. But again, the school board put nearly $500,000 in each of those schools with additional staff, additional programs, additional teachers. And so we know that this community, Chesterfield, is invested in making sure our schools reach that level.
Just as Dr. Lane was saying, you know, some of the specific things that I was excited about was the ability to put the special ed coordinator in there, right? We had an assistant principal taking all that time off her assistant principal duties to handle special ed. So we put a part-time special ed coordinator in there. We added two remediation teachers after Christmas. That's all they do is pull out and do remediation. You know, before that, we had the administrative staff, Dr. Smith, Ms. Bradshaw, and their AA. They actually come in every morning before school and lead their own remediation groups every morning as administrators.
Tell me a little bit more about the partnership with Virginia State.
Well, we worked with Dr. Abdullah over at Virginia State to identify students that would come over and do one-on-one mentoring with our students at Ettrick. I mean, it's right across the street, so it's easy for them to walk to. There's no need for transportation. And well, they started with the School of Education, and the professor levied a 15-hour requirement on each student. So they came in. The teachers then, we tried to establish a set schedule. So this one came in Monday at 2, this one came in Wednesday at 4. So the teachers could turn around and establish lesson plans, identify the 1 to 2 to 3 children for that hour that need to be pulled out and have one-on-one remediation and work with. And consistency is the most important thing. If a teacher is going to go home at night and spend the extra 45 minutes developing the lesson plan, then you want the person there to enact it the next day. So that's what we were striving for, was consistency across the timelines with the Virginia State students. And we're expanding that too now with the VCU Department of Education also.
We also are partnering with Virginia State on looking at a lab school model. with the support of the school board members, we went to members of the General Assembly that represent Chesterfield and asked for them to consider a budget amendment of $50,000 to give us time to plan for what a lab school could look like. That was approved in the General Assembly, and so that funding will become available to us July 1st, and we'll begin the process to see what this really new and innovative partnership between VSU and Ettrick Elementary School can look like far into the future.
And a lab school, is that where education students at VSU would come and co-teach?
It could be that. A laboratory school is where a school of education or a university partners with a school on the operations of the school. That could be co-teaching, that could be training of staff, that could be just helping out again with mentoring. But really and truly, we want to talk with our partners at VSU, we want to talk with our principal, and really tailor something specific to Ettrick that's unique and innovative, and using that notion that Ettrick is sitting there right on the campus of VSU to do something really special for those students. We want them to know from the day they enter kindergarten that they can end up at VSU right across the street and become Trojans and college graduates.
Beyond the corrective action plans, Dr. Lane says they started studying accreditation throughout the state.
And one of the things that we have found is that the schools that are not accredited in Virginia are highly correlated with the percentage of poverty in that school. And so one of the things that we have really advocated for at the state level is moving the focus on accreditation being solely about SOL scores to a much larger matrix that looks at all of the things that would make a school successful. And so what we know is that if you look at growth, how much a student has grown from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, that actually is not correlated with poverty in the school. So we think it's a much better assessment of student performance. And so the VDOE and the General Assembly has really been looking at this issue. We're looking at accreditation differently as a state. And Chesterfield has tried to be a leader and really thinking differently about how we can be accrediting schools in the future.
At Ettrick Elementary and Falling Creek Middle School, Lane says they're also trying something new this year.
I mentioned earlier our focus on thinking about growth, where a student is at the beginning of the year and how far we can take them in the end of the year. And what we know is if students are behind grade level, we have to make more than a year's worth of growth for them to be successful on the assessment. So we partnered with a vendor, brought in a new assessment that we're trying at these two schools that does measure student growth. It's predictive in nature in terms of telling us how much growth we can expect. Obviously, rather than focusing on whether students can pass an assessment on a certain day, we're looking much more at whether we can take them along that continuum in the year. And so, you know, if a student is three grade levels behind by the time they take the third grade assessment, well, you know, we want to give teachers credit. You may not be able to move a student from three grade levels behind on grade level in 1 year, but if you can move them two grade levels in a year, we know that that teacher is doing miracle work, and we see that all the time. And so this growth assessment is given at the beginning of the year to get a sense of where the student starts the school year. We give it in the middle of the year, right around January, to get a sense of how far they've come and maybe readjust some of our remediation plans. And then we give that assessment again one more time towards the end of the year, but before the SOL assessment, to really get a sense of the student's readiness and do some last-minute fine-tuning on our remedial efforts to get students over the line.
In the growth model, one of the nice things that I like about it is with the analytics tool, they can dig in down to the degree, not just Johnny's having problems in English, but then it breaks down comprehension and literary skills, reading, and it zeroes right in so that when you provide remediation, you're providing targeted remediation to the area that student needs it.
Mr. Thompson knows that I like to use geeky education phrases, so what it really does that's special to me is it gives you the student's zone of proximal development. So it tells you what a student has learned, what they're not ready to learn, and exactly the type of skills that they're ready to learn, which, you know, to Mr. Thompson's point, is the amazing piece about that tool. It lets a teacher know exactly where they should be teaching so they're not too far ahead or too far behind a student's individual level.
We're very happy with what we're doing at those two schools, and now we'll wait and see what we need to do at the end of this year and what we need to tweak for next year. And hopefully we're developing a model that we can go out and use in some of our other schools that are, you know, that could be on the cusp, and negate it before it happens so that we don't have this problem in Chesterfield County again.
Dr. James Lane is superintendent of Chesterfield County Schools, and Rob Thompson is the Metoka District School Board representative. For Learning Curve, I'm Catherine Kump, WCVE News.